All right, we're going to go to our Zoom line here, and we're going to do a little bit of some talk of the town on Bismarck Radio, and then we're also going to do a little Crude Life podcast, and we also have some other podcasts that we are getting syndicated and picked up with. We're in the formation of those right now. So Brittany Dietrich is our guest. She is starting a brand new podcast. I think she's got one episode out. I know she's got a couple in the can. But she's transitioning out of the family business, which has been construction and industry, and she's going to go into a new direction. And so we can talk a little bit about that, and we can also talk about her new podcast. And Brittany, how are you doing today?
I'm great, Jason. How are you?
Pretty good. Now, let's start with the podcast. What is the name of the podcast?
It is called Business Lesbian with Brittany Dietrich, It is not interviewing just queer people. My first guests are both gay, and then the episode that's in the can is also with a queer person, but we're interviewing all people. I am the business lesbian.
Now, is there a difference between gay, lesbian, and queer? Because I know there's all these different acronym names and that kind of thing. So is there a difference, or they kind of interchange?
Yeah, I mean, it's always safe to call. I mean, it depends. It's all identification, and you can call us the Alphabet Mafia if you want. It's interesting. My wife actually chairs Fargo Moorhead Pride, which is next week. And I've learned so much through her on it, but really it's however people identify. Queer is like a safe catch-all.
I mean, are you really, for real? I thought that was the most offensive one of all the alphabets. That's the safest.
No, I mean, unless you're like, you're calling someone queer as in you are a strange, but even then it's just an adjective. I don't know. It's all about intent, I think.
Oh, Brittany, I grew up in the 80s. Anything that was on TV in the 80s is offensive now. I mean, everybody was just, watch 70s and 80s programming. It is so offensive today. Holy smoke. So
it's kind of sad because it's starting to happen to some of my favorite shows. I love 30 Rock, and I'll rewatch it every once in a while, and I'm like, okay, there's a couple things in here that are a little okay.
Yeah,
I still love it, and it's just intent, and it wasn't weaponized at the time, I don't think, or I don't know. It's
no, comedy is mostly done to advance the mind. You know, it allows you to think. What, you know, it helps to be comedic versus angry. And so, if you laugh at something, your mind at least goes there. And so, it's been something since Socrates that, you know, comedians have been, you know, or Mercutio from Shakespeare days. And there's been a need for comedy. And in America, one thing that's very unique about comedy is that we're allowed to go places that you can't go in other countries. A lot of the comedians can take on the president or even some religious or lifestyle choices. And although it might be controversial, it's still allowed. And that, for me, I'm a big proponent of that type of, you know, hey, let everybody to the party type of a thing. You know, even kind of the offensive folks, let them remind me why I'm offended by that.
Yeah, I mean, that's freedom of speech is a big part of our culture.
Right, as long as there's some responsible education and some responsible discourse to go along with that. And, you know, one of the things that's always impressed me about you professionally, because we've been LinkedIn companions for a number of years and I've been able to follow your career. Folks, just true little transparency, I gave Brittany her first interview back, probably 10 years ago at when I was at KFGO. She was a student at Fargo South doing a DECA project. And so we connected on social media through that. So I've been able to, you know, sporadically just kind of follow what you've been doing professionally through your construction company and just your industry work. And then you mentioned your wife earlier. So let's talk about that lifestyle choice a little bit. And lifestyle choice, boy, that was offensive right there. Let's talk about that lifestyle direction and the podcast, because Business Lesbian, and then that's pretty direct, by the way. That's
it is.
Letting people know exactly what your target market is. So we'll start with just first, how long have you been married?
Chelsea and I met after high school. And we've been married since 2016. So 6 years this November.
Which state did you get married in, if I may ask?
We got married in Minnesota. We got engaged right after the Supreme Court legalized or made, you know, our marriage legal. And I talk about that at the end of the podcast, actually, now, like, that there's been hints at revoking or repealing Obergefell. We are making sure that our wills and everything also basically contractually bind us to each other, because if our marriage gets dissolved, I don't really know what happens, but it's just like, oh, marriage is a contract and you don't have to worry about it. If I get in a car accident, my wife will be able to make decisions on my behalf. And I'm like, okay, well, if something were to happen, I need to make sure that it's still in writing, which is kind of a bummer. It's weird.
I've never even thought of that angle where some states, if they don't recognize your marriage, your spouse may not be able to make medical or just life and death decisions for you.
Yeah. And it's really hard if you have kids in the picture too, because if you don't carry the child, then in some states you have to adopt them. And so you can lose parental rights and all that stuff. So it's pretty, I'm hoping that everything stays in place, but we'll see.
So the Business Lesbian Podcast, how many episodes have hit the streets or hit the airwaves or dropped? How many episodes have dropped?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, like, subscribe, blah, yeah. blah, blah. The first episode dropped last night. I was going to do it this morning because the internet says the best time to release a podcast is Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday morning. But then I got too excited. And
the internet tells us that? Okay, all right.
Okay, apparently there's, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just having fun with it. But yeah, so I'm transitioning out of the family business, and I'm trying to figure out and one of the magical things about being in industry, but being, you know, a child of the family that owns the business, is I've been able to, it took a lot of time, but I'm very much myself. And so that's part of why the name is kind of a little jarring, because it's like, okay, this is who I am. And if it offends you that the show is called Business Lesbian, and, you know, maybe you won't enjoy the content, but it's just who I am. And because I was in a family business where I knew I wasn't going to get fired for being visible, because my dad loves me, and, you know, I was able to prove my credibility in my job on my own, but I also knew that I could be authentic. That kind of really became a big part of how I am professionally, where I'm pretty candid with people. I'm very direct. I like to have, like we were talking before, having a sense of humor about things is really important. And bringing other people into the fold. So that's kind of why I picked the name, because I was like, oh, now I'm just a business lesbian. I don't know what I'm going to do. And then I was like, oh, that's kind of funny. So that's, I don't know. It's
well, it's very to the point. And, you know, it surprised me a little bit, because I just last week I used you as an example. We were I don't know how it came up, but we were talking about social media and social media etiquette and all the different angles and politics and Roe v. Wade and, you know, just gun rights and you name it, any trigger issue and, you know, how that mixes on social media. And when we came up with some of the alphabet people, or alphabet mafia, as you call them, and which I like much better than alphabet people, because I stole that from Dave Chappelle. So that's all. I brought you up as an example, because, like, when you came out, whenever that was, with your announcement that you were married, was that the first time that you had, like, publicly came out, I guess? Is that even a thing that people do anymore? Do people come out anymore?
Oh, or yeah.
Is
it, okay. Well, I have to come out still all the time, too. Because, I mean, I probably don't present as, like, a stereotypical lesbian.
So no, you don't. It shocked me when I saw that. And I,
you have to kind of tell everyone. So that's why I'm pretty vocal about, oh, yeah, my wife. I'm like, yes. And the first time I came out at Industrial Builders, I was so nervous. It was before I got married that I came out. But Chelsea and I had been together for 3 years at that point. So, and everyone just thought she was my roommate. It's wild now.
Well, I imagine some of the older generation, they still haven't figured out. They're like, okay, so what is it now they're doing?
Like, well, but that's why I'm so like, I'm like, business lesbian, please. There's so many more things for us to talk about. I don't want you to, you know, just my wife is my wife, and that's just how it is, I guess. So I'm like, let's just get that out of the way right away. Let's not mince words or.
Well, I could say
come to any other assumptions
for, you know, kind of following or being, you know, you being a part of my social media world for the past 10 years. I call you one of the classiest ones when it comes to integrating that lifestyle into your professional world. That's not an easy thing to do because even, I'll use the sports example, you know, when somebody scores a touchdown and they spike it, you know, when I grew up, the coach would say, act like you've actually scored a touchdown before. You don't have to spike it. At the end of the Super Bowl, at the end of the playoffs, hey, you can get excited, you can get emotional, but we're playing, you know, Moorhead. We're playing, you know, Valley City. What, you've never scored a touchdown before? And that's kind of like how I view a lot of things in social media. There's some people that just, you know, go through their day-to-day and it's their day-to-day. And then other people, they get excited at certain times. When you kind of, when anything that involved like your lifestyle like that, it was just so, as a matter of fact, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't LeBron James, the 6 months, where am I going to sign, you know, on ESPN. So I think you have a lot of class when it comes to just integrating, I guess, the lifestyle and, you know, business, because there are some people still that maybe not be as accepting in business as others. Are you finding that to be the case still?
I'm sure it is, I think. And that's probably part of why I lead so much, because people kind of self-select on their own. And so I like to live as myself. I like to be authentic. And if who I am is disturbing, people aren't as abrasive. I mean, it happens every once in a while where someone gets really upset and tells me, you know, how I'm going to go to hell or whatever. But for the most part, people aren't like outwardly unkind about it. So they're not going to just like blow up. They might just kind of go to a different part of the room or whatever. And so all of a sudden the people that are left standing with you are people that you can work with, you can talk with. So people kind of sort themselves into different categories as time goes on, which mm-hmm. is, you know, and that's part of why I'm always just, I'm like, this is who I am. And I hope that you know, that's not the only part of my identity, but it seems to be a part that can be divisive. So let's just get this out of the way. And you can make your move and then we can get to know each other more if you're open to it.
So you live in North Dakota and you work in the construction and, you know,
heavy civil construction,
heavy machinery, you know, diesel is the entry level type of a, you know, liquid industry. How is, you know, the North Dakota and the construction, you know, the industry side of things, is there an acceptance there? Is there, you know, you're transitioning out of the family business, but it's also, you know, it's a construction business too. So it could be, geez, it could be a family. It could be, let's see, you got a lot of pressures coming from a lot of different areas, stereotypically speaking. So that's why I just kind of ask you about your experiences and, you know, what you've seen, you know, because you're generally a pretty positive person from what I know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. I enjoy, one of my favorite things about working in construction for so long is that, you know, out of the box, like, especially when I graduated out of high school, I was like, oh, these are not the people that I necessarily want to be around or that I have a lot in common with, but you have things that you can find in common with everybody. And so I've gotten to meet so many people without writing them off and getting to learn so many other parts of people's personalities in construction, you're kind of stuck with the people that are working around you. If you're on a crew, if you're in a department of an office, like the people that are around you are the people that are around you. And it's a lot more fun to enjoy the company of people around you. And you can do that by getting to know them and picking around in their personalities to find the things that you think are really interesting. And everyone has something about them that's really interesting. To answer your question about, you know, North Dakota and construction, it's getting better for sure. I think my experience would have been a lot different if, again, the nepotism was like this magical cloak of invisibility where, you know, there really weren't a lot of incidents within our company where people were closed-minded because I'm the president's daughter. So, you know, if you put two and two together, you're like, all right, let's not bite the hand that feeds. But yeah, so it was within my organization, I think there was probably some forced good behavior just because of who I am. And then as time got on, kind of like everything in my career, I made sure that people got to know me and gave me credibility because of who I am. Part of it was being the torchbearer of, for a lot of those people, being the only queer person that they knew and having some very uncomfortable conversations with people that mean really well, where they're like, huh, I thought you people weren't like this. And I'm like, I'm probably the first person you've ever talked to, huh? And they're like, yeah. And so knowing that you're kind of the person, the only person that they know that's out or is vocal about it is a little bit of pressure. But people, I don't think I've ever been someone where at the end of the interaction, they're like, oh yeah, gay people suck. Like after they walk away from me, I think that I try to represent pretty well. In general, I would say construction is certainly getting more tolerant. I don't think it's like pro diversity yet. It's getting there. And as leadership is changing, as more people are getting involved and bringing more people to the table, it's getting more diverse and people are valuing other opinions. But in my career in North Dakota, no one was ever abusive or terrible or anything like that. But it wasn't like a, hey, can we come to Pride with you? It was more of a, okay, we're okay with that. And so that's kind of been the space, which is, I mean, far better than like a negative perspective.
Yeah, I would imagine your story and your background pedigree is a little bit different from most, being the daughter of a president of a pretty big sized construction company. You started in high school, so you were not afraid to, you know, get your hands dirty and some stress into your life and the construction side of things. So a lot of people that probably were a little bit shocked, they also worked next to you and grew up next to you a little bit too, because you were there. I mean, when did you start in the construction industry?
Right after I graduated high school, I started working at IBI. So, okay. Yeah, I was 18.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's not normal for, you know, 18-year-old girls that, you know, are, I mean,
yeah.
It's
but,
just
not, and I mean, still, we don't have a lot of women that work at our company. We have more now than we used to, but
okay.
I was definitely at the time I started out on a road milling crew and I was the only woman out there for the whole summer that I was on that crew.
Pioneer you are. And, you're doing the Business Lesbian Podcast. Is that the name of it, right? Business Lesbian?
Yep, Business okay. Lesbian, yep.
Now, let's talk about that now a little bit here. So, okay, the Business Lesbian Podcast. Who was your first guest?
My first two guests were Molly Swanston, who is the owner of Swanston Equipment, and Megan McDougall, who works at her family's tech consulting company. And so they're both queer as well. And so I just was like, let's just get this first episode. We're all really good friends too. So the first episode was me interviewing them about how we talked a lot about working with your family and kind of the vibe that comes from making sure that you are a good, like, you know, you earn the chair that you're in. You're given the chair because of your name, but make sure you actually deserve it. And so we talk a lot about that. And then my second episode is with Morgan Schleif of M. Schleif Photography. And she's talking about, she's a professional photographer who went from being a hobbyist to having an awesome, really cool portfolio of work. And so, but yeah, we talk a lot about we really just have conversations.
And how are these podcasts available through all the regular different places, I imagine?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. You have a website?
Spotify. I do. It's called thebusinesslesbian.com. And I built it myself. So it's not the most beautiful thing, but I'm pretty proud. And I think that's the family business side of it, where it's like, you have to be able to wear all of the hats, do all of the things. So I was like, I'm going to build my own website. So it's thebusinesslesbian.com and streaming on Spotify or iHeartRadio, Deezer, Amazon. It's all of the, anywhere you can find a podcast, it's up.
You got yours on Spotify, huh?
Oh yeah. That was probably the easiest one though, actually.
I should probably go back and take a look, because back when I tried, they charged you for it.
Oh no, it was free.
And yeah. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. And so I, okay, well, I'll go back and take a look at it. In fact, it might even be on Spotify now because you know how it goes. You put your RSS feed in those little robot websites and they...
Yeah,
they,
and some of them share it to other places without you even knowing. Like,
I got an email. I was going to say, I got an email the other day from somebody who listened to it off of Listen Notes. And I've never even heard of Listen Notes. And I went and I looked it up and I'm like, oh, okay. It's just like an online streaming site that people can listen to, apparently, my podcast. Okay.
Yeah. So,
it's
you aren't on Spotify yet.
Okay.
But when I search The Crude Life, you do come up for being a guest on Talking Energy Show.
Ah, okay. I should see. So I should probably get on the Spotify. Yeah, I've been a little bit behind on some of that updating things because it takes time. It takes time to
it
go
does,
through all that different stuff.
What one of my friends tipped me off to is a service called Sounder. And so I upload the episode. You set up all the feeds first and then you upload it at that one spot and it distributes it to all of the other ones.
And then the other thing that I do, and this is something that, you know, everybody has their own strategy, but I actually prefer when people listen to them off of the Crude Life website or whatever the podcast is, you know. And so, like, we have players right on our website because then we get website traffic. But the different players are nice because when people have them downloaded, then it's a reminder that a new episode comes up and that sort of thing. So, like, iHeartRadio, whenever a new episode comes up from the Crude Life, it emails my or texts or whatever to my phone and says, yeah, new episode up and running and stuff.
And you're like, I know, I just uploaded that.
Exactly. I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm the one they're telling. No, just kidding.
Yeah.
So,
well, you and many others.
Well, okay. I got a question for you then, and it might be my naivete, but you mentioned earlier, I think that somebody does not have to be part of the Alphabet Mafia or queer LS key T or something like that. They can that's a new word. That's a new letter. So are you going to go outside of, you know, business lesbian talk, or are you the business lesbian or just,
I guess. I'm the business lesbian. Yeah. Okay. I'm the business lesbian. So it's just me labeling myself and no one else. The rest are whoever they want to be, if they'll just agree to talk to me. So,
okay. So yeah,
I'm working on a couple of business owners. I'm hoping to get Skylar Dutton from Thunder Coffee. I'm working on a bunch of different, I'm going to interview a bunch of my friends that are teachers, about they're excellent teachers, but talking about their lives as educators in this environment, because back to school is starting and they're amazing humans and it's just hard to watch. I think people forget that teachers are people when their kids are working with them. So I'm just trying to show off how they're engaged and how they're, so it's going to be all kinds of different people and they won't all necessarily be in business. Obviously educators are a not-for-profit thing, but they're just good people that are who are passionate about their work and are doing the right thing. And so I'm kind of in an existential crisis where I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do with my life. But I know that I've connected to some really wonderful people and I've always had good conversations. So why not record them and see if anyone else is inspired by them the way that I am?
Professional identity crisis, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just a business lesbian. That's all I am now.
That's it. So, well, what the heck? How about when it comes to social media? That's a topic that's growing more and more for companies. You know, we mentioned the North Dakota, which is a traditional, a little bit more conservative, older values, if you will, that are from the last century. And then the construction is what it is. Companies, some micromanage, some kind of let people do what they want to do. You're getting a blending now. Personal, business blends together. People being protective of, you know, their image, whether it be gun control or Roe v. Wade. So do you talk about that? Are you going to talk about that? Do you have any thoughts on that when it comes to social media and it comes to just anything, whether it be, you know, you and your wife sharing something on social media and how that impacts, you know, companies and blah, blah, blah. I think you know what I'm trying to say, don't you?
Yeah, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's, it kind of comes down to culture of
By the
business.
Way, no different than when I got my DUI. Just so you know, I brought shame to a lot of people during that. But go on. Okay.
Well, but it's the whole thing where, I mean, I think the pandemic probably blended things up a lot more, where our work and our personal lives became really integrated. You kind of always, I'm a very committed person, like, and I think obviously that started with working at the family business, like you're all in. And that's part of the reason that I made the decision to leave was because I wasn't feeling like I was all in and it wasn't fair to the business. But when you work somewhere, you're representing that firm. Hopefully you, if you enjoy the work, you're doing it because the culture kind of fits who you are and they support who you are as a person as well, which might be expressing yourself on social media. But, you know, typically people kind of cluster into groups of people that are kind of similar to them that, you know, but social media is, it, we work with humans and humans are going to represent themselves. And that's just part of business. So I don't think you can, you certainly can make sure that people put disclaimers where it's like, these views are my own. They don't reflect my organization or whatever it is. But the humans that work for you are, they represent your organization. They are your organization. So I don't know. It's kind of a tricky area, but after the pandemic, when all of a sudden people are working from their kitchen tables and kids are running around the back, it's, the lines are pretty blurred and you have to admit, like, it's not just a hat that you put on and take off when you go to work. It's, you're the same person and you should be comfortable being yourself and being able to express yourself mm-hmm. at work.
Well, I tell people all the time that if you have a student loan, a car payment or a house payment, you have a business. It's called your family because you're cash flowing it. You have to figure out a way for, you know, you'd have more revenue than you've got bills. That's just, it's no different than what a business does. And so, you know, the lines, they are getting more blurred. What we did at the Crude Life is, we're very inclusive for individuals. Where we draw the line is ethics. And if somebody starts abusing their authority or their power, and in our case, somebody might use, you know, the position to go get a big interview with a CEO and then use that opportunity to solicit them. Nope, they're not invited back to the party. That's the end of that. And so, we kind of go more towards the ethics route than the, you know, lifestyle.
It's like the golden rule. You know, treat it like it's your own.
Yeah, okay. Well, I suppose anything else that you want people to know about the podcast, I wish you luck. It's going to be, you know, I'm glad you're having fun with it. And, but also that you kind of got a mission too, a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I just want to, there are some really amazing people. So I guess one thing is the website is live, thebusinesslesbian.com. And I have a spot on there where you can submit if you have anyone that you think I should interview. So I'm, my circle, I have some wonderful people in my life, but there are a lot of people that I don't know that are doing amazing things. And so if you know someone who is in that camp, just submit them and I'll try to reach out to them and see who I can get on the show. And I don't know where it'll go, but I'm just having fun and getting to know people and hoping I'll find my next spot pretty well, wrapping up at IBI. And then I'm finishing up grad school here this next year. And then come May, if I don't have something sorted out, I'm going to have kind of an issue. But I will land on my feet before then, I'm sure.